Now, how our increasingly wireless world is affecting our social behavior, especially among the generation that's grown up with smartphones. William Brangham has that.
The promise of social media, as the name implies, is that it connects us to each other, helps us become more social. But according to a recent story in The Atlantic magazine, an increasing body of evidence shows that for many teenagers, greater use of social media means a far greater sense of isolation. According to the piece, teenagers now spend less time in the company of their friends, they date less, have less sex, and get less sleep than earlier generations. And with this growing isolation comes a rise in cyberbullying, feelings of being left out, and higher rates of depression and suicide. The piece is called "Has the Smartphone Destroyed a Generation?" and it's written by author and professor of psychology Jean Twenge. She joins me now from San Diego. Welcome to the NewsHour.
Thank you.
So briefly, would you just please lay out the case that you're making in this piece that smartphones and social media have had this very detrimental effect on a younger generation?
Well, I've done work on generational differences for a long time. And right around 2011 or 2012, I started to see some negative signs in the data. More depression, more anxiety. The suicide rate was starting to go up again. And I realized that these are some sudden big changes. Very rare to see such sudden changes in this type of work. And I realized 2012, according to the data, is the year when the majority of Americans had a smartphone. So that made me wonder if that might have something to do with it. So I looked at these same big data sets of teenagers and found that those who spent more time online or on social media or on electronic devices also were more likely to be depressed and anxious and have risk factors for suicide.
You write in the piece that rates of teen depression and suicide have skyrocketed since 2011. What is the evidence that these things are caused by access or heavy use of these devices?
Well, that's always the question. So the research that I did was correlational, so that there's a link between the two. So proving causation, really you need a different type of method. But fortunately, there have been other researchers who have used those types of methods. There's two studies that have looked at adults over time and seen that when they use social media more, then their psychological well-being goes down, mental health, and then mental health problems increase. There's another study called the Facebook experiment where people, by a flip of a coin, either continued their normal Facebook use or they gave up Facebook for a week. And those who gave up Facebook for a week at the end of the week were less lonely, less depressed, and happier. So those studies really point very strongly in that direction, that the causal arrow moves from social media and screen time to lowered psychological well-being.
And you feel pretty confident that this effect could not be caused by other factors in society, the economy, employment, access to healthcare, so many other things that could drive our sense of well-being.
Yeah, so I looked at the economy because I wondered about that too, because of course the Great Recession had a big effect on people. Unemployment really went up. But if you look at the pattern for unemployment, for example, a good indicator of the strength of the economy, unemployment really peaked out at about 2010 and then went down and is now quite low. But the data for mental health goes in the other direction. It doesn't do a whole lot until about 2011 or 2012. Then it really shoots upward. So unemployment doesn't seem to be the answer, these economic factors. And then other factors, it's hard to nail those down, but access to healthcare probably went the other direction as well at that time. It's difficult to identify any other big social change that happened around 2011 or 2012 that might be linked to mental health other than smartphones.
What about this reaction that I've seen some people making online, that this is just yet another generational freakout, that this is like we did with violent video games or helicopter parenting or marijuana or rock and roll, that we are just flipping out because we as an older generation don't appreciate what this technology really is?
Yeah. Well, you know, as a generations researcher, I've of course heard this argument before. Oh, it's just old people complaining about the young generation. Doesn't that always happen? I've always found that argument confusing because I don't care what older people say. I'm more interested in what young people say now compared to what young people said 10 years ago or 20 years ago. So comparing the generations at the same age and really listening to young people and what they're experiencing and what they're feeling. So I'm not really sure that argument is relevant.
Some of the things that you do cite, driving less, drinking less, not getting killed as often in cars, not getting as pregnant as often, those don't sound necessarily like terribly bad things to me as a parent.
Yeah, they're not. So this trend of growing up slowly, the things you mentioned about driving, they're also working less, less likely to have sex and get pregnant as teenagers, less likely to drive. These are trade-offs. So 18-year-olds now look more like 15-year-olds did just 5 to 10 years ago. So teens are growing up more slowly. The activities that adults do and children don't, they're just less likely to do those things. Some of those people might identify as being a really good trend, like fewer teenagers having sex and getting pregnant. Others are, I don't know, either one. Driving less, working less. It's not really a matter of is this good or is this bad. It's that all of these trends come together with them growing up more slowly, taking longer to take on the roles, both the responsibilities and the pleasures of adulthood.
Your piece also says that some of the more negative effects fall harder on girls than on boys. I'm curious why you think that is.
Yeah, so a lot of the mental health trends are more acute for girls than boys. The increases have been much larger for girls than for boys. And my best guess is that's because girls spend more time with their smartphones and more time on social media. And their interactions on social media are often more negative. So that might be one of the reasons why that mental health trend is more negative for girls.
Last question. If you were advising a parent who is trying to figure out a good mix of allowing their child to have this technology but try to moderate it in some way, what kind of advice would you give them?
Well, I think first put off getting your teen a smartphone as long as you can. Sixth grade is very common now, even fourth grade. I have a fourth grader or becoming a fifth grader. She said half of the kids in her class had a phone. The mental health effects are stronger for the younger kids. So put that off. And if you feel like they need it for taking the bus, get them a flip phone. Once they have that smartphone, there are apps where you can regulate how many hours a day they use that phone and if they're using it at night, because we want them to get a good night's sleep. And we found that an hour, even an hour and a half a day of use doesn't seem to have any negative mental health effects. But 2 hours and beyond, that's where you start to see the effects. And most teens are on their phones a lot more than 2 hours a day.
All right, Jean Twenge, really, really provocative piece in The Atlantic Magazine. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.